what community's all about.
And you'll see how beautiful everybody is.
That's right. That's right. And we're going to go to the dirt bag right
very
now.
Soon.
Speaking of
pulchritude.
Pulchritude and beautiful plants and beautiful gardens. They're beautiful and healthy is what Glenn Andreessen and company help you do. So shall we move on?
Yeah, let me take it away.
All right, take it away, Tammy.
Thank you, guys. All right. Dirtbag is coming up. This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from One Green World, a nursery offering hard-to-find fruiting plants designed to help you grow your own food and decorate your yard, deck, or patio. Now located in Portland at 6469 Southeast 134th. For a color catalog, the number is 1-877-353-4028 or online at onegreenworld.com. Also by The Garden Spout, specializing in indoor gardening equipment, including horticultural lighting, environmental control, hydroponic and organic ingredients, and pest control. The Garden Spout is located at 4532 Southeast 63rd, just south of Foster in Portland. Information at 503-788-GROW. And, excuse me while I lean over and punch up all the numbers, and here comes the dirt bag.
Am I? There we go. Oops. Well, it is alarming how charming it is to be a farming. It's the second Wednesday of the month at 11 o'clock. It's time for the Dirt Bag. Good morning. This is Glenn Andreessen here beside you now. With me in the studio is my guest, Jim Gilbert of One Green World. Full disclosure, One Green World is an underwriter of this program. Jim, welcome back.
Good morning, Glenn. Nice to be here.
You've been to the other side of the world. Is that not correct?
You know, yes. I was took an incredible trip. We call it an epic journey. From we flew from Portland, basically ended up in Korea, overnight, and then to Vladivostok, Russia, where we spent several wonderful days swimming in the Sea of Japan.
Wow.
The warm side of the Pacific Ocean. Pretty amazing. And then we took the train, 2.5-day train trip from Vladivostok to Lake Baikal in the sort of central part of Siberia.
And what's the distinction of Lake Baikal? The biggest or the deepest or the
largest body of fresh water in the world?
Uh-huh. Did you soil it?
No.
Okay. I mean, did you swim in it?
I didn't soil it. Okay. Actually, I didn't swim in it either this time. We spent our time in two different towns. One is called Ulan-Ude, which I used to think when I was a kid was spelled Ulan-Ude, U-U-L-A-N-U-D-E, which is north of Mongolia and a really interesting place. It's the Buddhist capital of Russia, basically, the Buddhist center of Russia. And people there are shamanists and there's temples, Buddhist temples, and it's really a cool spot. And then we went to the other side of Lake Baikal to Irkutsk, Russia, where a good friend of ours lives, and where they more or less were celebrating the harvest of pine nuts, Siberian pine nuts.
Hmm. Now, what do you mean celebrating?
Well, they had in there. We went to the local market, and many booths were selling the nuts. There was, they make candy from it. In fact, I just happened to be standing in this market, and a television crew came up and wanted to interview me about Siberian pine nuts. I thought, well, should I speak Russian or should I speak English? And we sort of made a compromise between the two languages, and they just were like celebrating this harvest, which is really popular there. The nuts are made into all sorts of products, and everybody sells them.
Do pine nuts grow around here?
Sure. Yeah, we can grow them here.
Uh-huh. They're tasty.
They're really tasty, and the trees are very pretty, and they're very traditional crop and nutritious.
Well, we'll talk more about the fruit that you encountered on this epic journey. We've got a full show. We always do have a full show here. We're going to talk about the Home Orchard Society, and as I've said, you know, maybe try to convince you that it's the top fruit tasting event in North America. Could that be true, Jim?
I think it's absolutely true.
Okay, well, we're going to try to convince you by describing this and what you'll be able to taste and smell, see, and hear.
Yes, at the All About Fruit Show.
Coming up in just, what, 1.5 weeks?
1.5 weeks, weekend after this coming one.
All right. We will have an interesting garden stumper sometime today, you know, during our membership drive. Here we have all sorts of different schedules, we will say. We'll also talk about persimmons. Mm-hmm. Getting to be the season. In fact, Jim brought in some American persimmons for us to taste and to describe. And if you come in and become a member or renew your membership, we'll probably even have some left over for you to taste. We'll try to describe that. Also, we'll talk a bit about planting garlic. This is the month to do so, although I'd wait till the rains come, and that's going to be pretty soon. Such a stretch of weather we've had, eh?
It's amazing. I mean, it's like summer in October.
And even the lows are high.
The lows are high and the highs are high. And, you know, it is a good time for planting a lot of different things right now. The ground is still easy to dig. Holes are easy to dig. And rain is in the forecast.
Right.
So, you know, we'll have moist soil here soon, but this is a great time to get plants in the ground.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's talk about, right off the bat, let's talk about Home Orchard Society and the All About Fruit Show. Now, we've been mentioning this for several months here, but we can get into it now. I think the schedule is set.
This is the event of the fall, as far as I'm concerned. And I think anybody who is interested in fruit, this is really the one to go to. There are literally hundreds of varieties of fruit you can see and taste. People, knowledgeable growers from all over the region will be there. They have a table set up where if you've got a fruit in your yard, a heritage apple or pear or something that you've wondered what variety it is, you can actually bring that fruit in. Don't polish it or anything. Just bring it in as it comes off the tree.
Leave the stem on.
And we'll do our best. They'll do their best to tell you what it is.
It's pretty remarkable to watch these masters at work, too.
Yes.
And they're not necessarily old folks either. You know, they've just learned how to do this.
Yeah,
I'm impressed by what they do and how they do it.
Yeah, it is pretty remarkable. And there's I don't know of any other place in the area where you can do this. Also, there's speakers, and I believe you're one of them.
Yes.
And I know that I'm one of them. some really interesting topics. One person will be talking about fruiting varieties that have actually originated in the Northwest. Another will be talking about quince. I'll be talking about growing, how to grow plants and be successful with them, fruiting plants.
And our guest last month, John Saltvite, he I think his topic has to do with permaculture.
That's right.
Something like that. And I will be talking about pollinators.
Right. And I think you and John are on Sunday and I and the others are on Saturday, as I recall.
That's correct.
Right. Plus, we'll have a One Green World booth there with some fruit-based juices and ice cream for sampling. It's a really great event, great for kids. Kids, I mean, it's just a great way to expose your whole family and yourself to all this incredible variety and diversity in our fruit world.
And this is at the Canby at the Clackamas County Fairgrounds.
Yes.
We'll have more information after we visit our friends over yonder there in the back 40.
Okay.
to use a... farming term here. All right, you guys there?
Yeah, as we say, that we're in the Palace of Pledge right here.
Palace of Pledge.
News flash. There is a matching period on the Dirtbag right now. A very generous offer to match the next $500 in donation called in during the Dirtbag show. So you can double your money. This is a great time to call. Not only that, with a minimum of $70 pledge of support, you can get a $25 gift certificate to One Green World. These are things you want to keep. You want to have these things, and you want to know that you are contributing to this amazing institution of KBOO by dialing 877-500-5266. Come on down to 20 Southeast Avenue. You might be able to get some persimmon, the most beautiful fruit in the world, and or go to KBOO.fm if you're at work, and you're going to get in trouble if you do. If you do something else. So that's it. What do you think, Will?
I think people should definitely walk into our fine, fine establishment at 20 Southeast 8th, just off Burnside. We're very easy to find. You can make your pledge that way. Or you can, of course, pick up the phone and dial 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-5266.
Put on your favorite. We don't have speed dials anymore.
Don't we? Oh.
No.
Oh.
No.
It's all so confusing.
I know.
But it is not confusing when gardening.
It's easy peasy.
Easy peasy.
It's silly. Easy peasy to call in 877-500-5266. And like I said, it is a matching period right now for the next $500 in donations called in during the Dirtbag. Do it, people. Make your money really count twice. 877.
It's the beginning of a lovely day.
Absolutely. 877-500-5266. Take it away, Glenn.
Okay. Thank you. That's a pretty good deal there. If you make a minimum $75 pledge, you can get this $25 gift certificate to One Green World and start growing your own fruit. And this is a perfect time at the All About Fruit show. You can taste certain varieties there. And then if you have this gift certificate, you can even buy it through One Green World, or the next spring, you can figure out how to make your own tree.
There's all sorts of possibilities out there, but the main thing is to get the plants in the ground. The sooner you plant, the sooner you'll have fruit.
That's right. And apples are pretty precocious, as we say. You know, you plant a tree now that's 2 years old. Next year, you probably have some fruit even, eh?
Possibly next year. Well, for sure, the year after.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Asian pears are also really precocious that way. And figs, some others that you get pretty much instant returns on. And our old favorite, the potted citrus plants.
Yes.
Those babies have got fruit right now.
I remember last year, about, I don't know when it was, you brought in some citrus.
Yeah.
You had oranges, grapefruit, I think, and maybe that was it.
I think January, you know, yeah, pretty reliable. They'll be ripening in the winter time. So.
And they were, you know, for having been grown in the Northwest, pretty tasty.
Yeah, well, you know, we do actually a pretty good job here with citrus. If we bring those plants indoors in the wintertime, yeah, so they don't get frozen,
yeah,
they do really well.
Well, our plant of the month this month is your favorite apples, or our favorite apples. And I just sprung this on Jim here, but I have a favorite apple of mine that every time I taste it, I think, man, that just got to be my favorite, or at least one of the favorites, every time I taste a new one. Can you guess what it might be? It's a russeted apple.
A russeted apple. I mean, yeah. Give me another clue. When does it ripen?
Now.
Now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of elongated. Hudson's Golden Gem.
Yeah, I was going to just say that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a green apple, but green to yellow, I suppose, and somewhat elongated and russeted, which means it's got, you know, some little, not scabby. How would you describe russet?
It's kind of a sort of a rough, bronzy, yeah, feel,
yeah,
mm-hmm, on the skin, and
it's edible. I mean,
oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, that's Hudson's Golden Gem, so that's my favorite. If you have a favorite and would like to let us know, please give us a call on the studio line, 503-231-8187. That's the number for your favorite apple, Jim. You got one that...
Well, one that comes to mind, although I have to, you know, having...
Yeah.
I'm surrounded by these from probably August until October, November, so yeah. I got several, but my early apple favorite is Wainuchi early.
Yeah.
which is really, really good and ripens around the same time as Gravenstein, maybe even a little bit earlier. But it has a, is very scab resistant, so it's like our apples are always really quite beautiful and no disease problems with them, and they're delicious, and they actually keep fairly well as a for an early apple. And it's actually one that we found up in on the coast of Washington near Aberdeen, Washington, called near the Wynoochi River.
Okay. I've mentioned this before, but Washington sure has Oregon beat in as far as place names. They've just got so many of them. Okay, we've got a call. Let's see what the caller's got. Good morning. Good morning, Sam. You're with the Dirt Bag.
Hey, thanks, you guys. I've been dying over here waiting for the rotation to come around. I tune in every Wednesday, and I get the bike show, the food show.
Yeah, and here comes the Dirt Bag.
So I got a fruit problem.
All right.
I have a walnut tree in the yard. It's about 60 feet tall now. Mm-hmm. And I've never done anything with it, but this year there was so many nuts on it that the branches bent down and touched the ground.
Wow.
And some of them even broke. They were so heavy.
Huh. And this is an English walnut?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
So my questions are, how do you pick walnuts? Or I always just waited for them to fall off, but they're destroying the tree.
Wow, that's a good one. I mean, you know, it's been an incredible year for fruit, and I guess also for nuts.
English walnuts. It's an incredible crop. The best year was the year they fell, minus their husks.
It's kind of hard to reach up and to get up into a tree that large and do much about thinning the nuts or the fruit. But probably if you had a long stick or something, you could just kind of go up there and kind of knock around on things and start knocking the fruit out of it. And that they should by now start falling pretty easily, and that would certainly reduce the weight.
So we don't generally thin nuts, do we, Jim?
No.
So you'd have to wait, and you could probably prop branches up with said long stick. If you had one long enough, you just, you know, prop it up like you might an apple branch temporarily.
I propped them up with 2x6s, but I was too late for some of the branches.
When you think about it, this is a good problem to have.
Yeah. So I tried the long stick, and I got 2 nuts and 1 squirrel.
Huh. In that order?
Can you tell me how to handle the nut once you get it down and it's got a green husk on it?
Well, it should split open. If it doesn't, if you let it lay a bit, it will likely split open. You can break it open physically too. I mean, you want to get the nut out of there and then dry the nut.
If I can interject a question here, how do you know that the nut is far enough along? I mean, if you knock some off the tree, would you be knocking them off too early so they wouldn't develop then?
Well,
yeah,
I think
that's for you, Jim.
They weren't mature yet.
Yes.
Yeah, by now I would think that they're pretty likely to be mature. Although it's possible they still could be somewhat green inside, but if you knock them off hard enough, they could come off green. I would say my thought was to kind of knock them a little lightly so the ones that are ripe will fall and the ones that aren't ripe would stay in the tree.
Okay.
But is there a protocol for drying them, like on a roof?
No particular protocol except just put them out there, hopefully, I mean, as long as there's sun, or put them someplace where they're not going to get rained on, of course. You can dry them under a roof. When it's sunny, that's perfect. I mean, if you stretch them out on a tarp or something on the ground, you know, and let them dry that way, that works fine.
Yeah.
I think the main thing is to prevent them from just getting wet again.
Yeah.
All right.
And then, you know, roasting the walnuts after they're shelled, that would be a good thing. Or you can have raw walnuts, certainly, but toasting them is kind of nice, too. You bet.
Bye now.
All right. That reminds me of one other task now, and that is with squash. I've harvested my squash last week. I've just left them on the beds, and with this warm sun, they're curing. But I want to be sure to get them in the next couple of days so they don't get rained on. They can handle a little rain, but not a lot of rain. It sounds like we might be having that. Plus, they're just mature now. So now that they've cured for, you know, at 70 or 80 degrees for a while, I'll put them under a spare bed or just someplace out of the way in a cool place, squash.
It is amazing how good the weather forecasting is these days compared to a few years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, we've been talking, this rain has been forecast now for probably 5 days. So, you know, we're panicking, but we're working hard.
Planning for it anyway.
Yeah, trying to, you know, get things done before it happens. It's amazing. And generally, they're right. And I could feel this morning a change in the weather. It's definitely cooler. Feels more maritime today.
Yeah. Well, speaking of planning, doesn't that sound like Jim of Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom? You know, while Jim wrestles the alligator, we go to our cozy home. And
right.
So let's see how memberships are happening over there.
Will, put that alligator down. Put that alligator down right now. We are still in the middle of a matching fund, $500 in donations. A very generous anonymous KBOO member has pledged to match of every dollar up to $500 in donations called in during the Dirtbag. Make your money count. Call in now at 877-500-5266.
Wait a second. Can I just check something? So you're saying if somebody donates, if you're saying if somebody pledges now, they will double what the pledge is?
Double down, baby.
Double.
Yes.
That's incredible.
Yes.
What a bargain.
I
what
know.
A deal.
I know. And come on in to 20 Southeast 8. Sample a totally amazing American persimmon that we have in here. They're little teeny persimmons. They're
no
beautiful.
Foreign persimmons for us.
That's right. That's right. That's right. And you can see Will wrestle an alligator. Whatever you want to do, we will do it for you. 877-500-5266. Call in right now. We also have $25 gift certificates to One Green World with your $75 minimum pledge of to the station. What is let's say, so the $75 is $6.25 a month.
That is $6.25 a month.
That's not even two lattes or whatever. You know, the other thing people can do
it's
is contribute 1 hour of what you make, what your salary, what you get per hour, one hour per month to KBOO. It's a
that's a really good idea.
It's a very, very...
And it's affordable.
It's affordable. It's something you can afford because it's just 1 hour of your month. You know, it's $88 an hour to run the radio station, too. So a person could, if you want to buy your hour at KBOO, you can also do that. That's sort of a fun thing.
That is a fun thing. And I know I definitely listen to KBOO for more than an hour a day, every day. And I always get so much out of it, whether it's Democracy Now! Or the news report between 4 and 5 and into 5 and 6 from the locals, folks, the volunteers right here. It's an amazing resource, KBOO. And you can show your support and your love for this terrific radio station by calling us at 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-5266. And you'll be contributing to your community. You will be creating and empowering your community by doing that. It's incredibly important. It's a lovely day out there. It's going to be a wonderful day, and you can do something very positive at the beginning of this day by joining us in the as a member of KBOO. You call 877-500-5266. And there's another way that both Lynn and I recommend, which is just walk in through the front door. Our front door is open. We have Larry as a receptionist, and there's a lot going on here, especially at pledge time.
What's that address here?
It's 20 Southeast 8th. Very easy to find, just off Burnside. Big mural out front, and you can bring in your
the
pledge
bike,
that way.
The bike tire-upper things, our headphones. The bike racks
yes,
are
oh
headphones
yes.
here.
I didn't know what you were talking about. Yes, you can ride your bike over here. We have a great bike show, I think, is also on Wednesdays.
Absolutely.
And I used to know those folks really well, great people. And then, of course, you have this terrific gardening show that's teaching you how to garden in the very local area you live in. I mean, this isn't broadcast from the East Coast.
Right,
these guys are growing here.
The Dirtbag is giving you information every week. Now it's time to give back just a little bit of your hard-earned pennies, nickels, and dimes.
To support.
Absolutely. For a $75 minimum pledge, as I said before, you can get a $25 gift certificate to One Green World, which is a retail mail order supplier of delicious and unique fruiting plants. Everybody I know loves this place. Have fun.
I've heard lots of good things about it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They have a Southeast Portland Farm Outlet Store on Southeast 134th, just south of Foster. $25. You can also just dump, because they sell online, you can use this $25 gift certificate and never leave your little house.
Oh, that's convenient.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. For a $75 minimum pledge of support today. You know, Bill renewed in Portland. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you,
John renewed in, John is new. He's new here in Portland. Thank you very much. And Mike renewed from Happy Valley in person. He came down to 20 Southeast 8th. It's a great day for it. Ride your bike on down, or your car, you can drive your fossil fuel car too. We don't care. Just come on down.
We do care, but no problem with you driving down here.
This time of year, come on down.
Just make it to KBOO.
Make it to KBOO. We are right by the 20 and the 12 bus as well.
Which is how I get here.
Yep. Absolutely. Unless I take you.
Pick me up. That's true. In your car.
In my car.
But please call us at 877-500-5266. That's incredibly important. We know you feel that way too. KBOO is right at the heart, if not the very heart, of this terrific city that we live in. And you can
have a matching pledge.
That is such a great deal. So anything you donate now gets doubled.
Couldn't
ask for better. If you were been holding out and not called yet, then right now is the time to pick up the phone. Dial 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-5266. And whatever you pledge, whatever you donate, will be doubled. It's an awesome deal. Grab that phone right now, please.
Oh, here we are. Well, we'll take a little break here, just a little bit here, to give you a little taste of Ronnie Earl. This is You Give Me Nothing. Well, that's not true. We've heard the phone ring in there, but that was the idea. You Give Me Nothing But the Blues.
You give me nothing. You give me nothing but the blues. You give me nothing. You give me nothing but the blues. Give me nothing but the blues, baby. I still go for you. You always lie to me.
Ronnie Earl, thanks for those calls. You do give us something. We know that. All right. We're going to talk up these persimmons that Jim has brought in here. They're delicious. These are about the size of a large cherry tomato. Large cherry tomato, maybe a little bit larger than a large cherry tomato.
Yeah.
Maybe about the size of a large walnut. Orangish, kind of flat. This is an American persimmon. And these are available, part of this gift certificate. You can buy these now. Is that not correct?
That's correct.
And your farm store is open on Friday and Saturdays until the end of this month.
October 25th.
So you can plant it this year.
That's right.
This month,
get
even.
That plant in the ground right now.
So that's just a $75 pledge minimum, and you get the gift certificate. Actually, let's see if we have any gift certificates left next time. But anyway, let's talk about the garden stumper. Hey, Jim?
Okay.
Okay, you have one there. Shall we? Tammy, are you ready for that? Yeah, she's going to play the garden stumper theme. Here we go. Okay, Jim had this garden stumper, and he told me what it was, and I said, oh, I know more than one answer for that. So there may be more than two answers for it, but it's the same basic question.
And this was, Glenn, you were so kind to, neither one of us thought about the garden stumper until this morning, so
yes.
So this was probably a pretty good one to come up with.
Yes.
What... in this case, I'm going to talk about tree fruit, but it could be expanded. But what popular tree fruit bears two distinct crops? The fruit is different in each crop two times a year here in the Northwest.
And that's a tree.
It's a tree.
And I thought of another answer that is not a tree, but it's another fruit that has two distinct, well, it has two crops.
Crops.
At two distinct times of the year.
Right. And this tree fruit, actually, the fruit is different. They're not the same fruit on the two crops, which is pretty unusual. But I mean, I don't know of any other one. So if somebody comes up with one, I'd love to hear it. But right now, I only know of one. So
one tree and this other one, too. So right. That's the stumper. We kind of, I think we muddled our way through that. They get the idea.
And it is somewhat topical because right now, one of those crops is ripening.
And actually, both of them can be. The other one is might be too. In my yard, it is anyway.
We'll have to discuss that.
Yes, right. Okay, anyway, if you want to try your hand at that, 503-231-8187. By the way, we don't have tickets for the Hollywood Ecofilm series that's going on now. They actually extended the run by 1 month, and they have a new show, a new film for this month here, and there are tickets available, but you would get those from a pledge, not from our show here. And it, now I didn't bring the title of this, the film, but it has to do with seed saving. This, the gentleman who started the seed bank in the Arctic.
Oh, in Norway.
It could be.
Yeah.
And so he's trying to gather all, you know, types of germplasm so we have it come hell or climate change.
Right, which may have some connection to those two words.
Right, so that's the last Thursday of this month. But if you donate, you can maybe ask for those tickets to the Hollywood Theater. Okay, let's talk more about persimmon here. This is the American persimmon. This is native to, what, Midwest?
Yeah, it's Indiana, Illinois, down south. But it is a native. It is one of my two favorite Native American fruits. And the other one is the pawpaw.
Was it a good pawpaw year?
Yes.
Yeah.
There's a lot of fruit on the trees. Some are already ripened and some are ripening.
I've had varieties. Three or four already this year. And I don't grow them, but I'm going to.
Yeah, they're pretty neat. But the persimmon is one. The pawpaw has a research program for it at Kentucky State University. Unfortunately, despite my efforts, I haven't been able to convince somebody to do a research program on American persimmon. Oh. But we have the benefit of hobbyists who've been working on this for a long time. And this particular variety that I brought came from a collection started by a gentleman named Jim Claypool in St. Elmo, Illinois. And I'm sure all of the reader or listeners have been to St. Elmo. But for those that haven't.
No.
No. St. Elmo was one of those small Midwestern towns that suffered from the increase in size of farms. And so where it once was a vibrant community, now it's somewhat suffering. But
I see.
But the collection is about 10 acres of American persimmon surrounded by soybean fields. And it's remarkable. And I have traveled there numerous times in the fall, walking around sampling the fruit. This particular persimmon, as you may have noticed, doesn't have any seeds. And it's early ripening. I mean, I have a collection at my place, many of which are still green, but this one is perfectly ripe. And
yes, that's after taking off the husk-like stem, you eat the whole thing, skin,
yep,
everything. And there are no seeds. Describing the flavor, I don't know. How would you describe it?
Well, it's sweet.
Soft flesh.
Soft flesh.
Peachy, maybe.
Yeah.
Texture, you know, soft like that, maybe a little bit.
And very, very somewhat mild flavor,
yes,
but sweet, you know.
Astringent, Tammy says?
Just a hint, perhaps, of astringency. I think it kind of adds to its flavor, really. The fruit can be quite astringent if it's not ripe, but at this point.
This one's dead ripe, just soft to the touch.
Yeah.
So that's American persimmon.
American persimmon.
But what persimmons many people are used to seeing are larger ones.
Yes, the Asian persimmon. And both, of course, are very good. The Asian persimmons at my place are not quite ripe yet. So I was really pleased to see these. I have several varieties of American persimmon that are. This particular variety is called Prairie Star. It's a new one that we introduced, and then there's one called Prairie Sun, and we will also be introducing a Prairie Blaze. And these are all the Prairie series, you could say, are from this collection in Illinois, which we think is probably the most valuable collection of this fruit in the world. So pretty exciting, actually. And the trees are bigger than the Asian persimmon, although it's easy to keep them smaller with pruning. No disease or pest problems. A lot of fruit. I mean, they're and persimmon pulp if anybody is from the Midwest, might know persimmon pulp has kind of a cachet there. It's sort of a special product. And there's an American Persimmon Festival in Mitchell, Indiana, where they have a persimmon pudding contest. And it's sort of made with persimmon pulp. It's really wonderful. And you can also make cookies and baked goods with it. And it's like adds a lot of moisture to anything you bake, persimmon does.
Well, we still have some left here. If you want to come down and sample, we'll hang on to some until noon.
And we'll have them at the All About Fruit Show.
Oh, yes, yeah, sampling
so
there too.
Definitely to come and try them there. It can be.
And some of the other ones, the Asian varieties may or may not be ripe by then.
We expect them to be.
Okay.
But we're, you know, weather is not yes. under our control.
And you'll have to tell me again how persimmons ripen. Do they ripen off the tree?
Not really. I mean, a little bit. So you can pick them firm and
they'll
orange
soften.
And they'll soften. But they do need to be fully orange to be have the all the flavor you want from them.
So they should remain on the tree until they're orange.
That's correct.
Okay.
And one of the neat things about
I can remember that. And
persimmons, besides the fact that they're, I think, wonderful to eat, the Asians especially, will stay on the tree until December.
Yes.
And then the leaves will fall, and you'll have a tree that's just festooned with these beautiful bright orange fruits. It's like a Christmas tree in your own yard.
Let's hope we don't have a deep freeze, because we won't have that.
That would interfere with
yes.
that.
But. Pick them before that, you know, if it's going to get below 25 or something.
That's right.
They can probably handle a light frost.
Yep. Yep.
All right. So I guess that's that. Let's take a little music break here. Hey, prime us for our next trip over to membership land. This goes back to the hardest working man in showbiz. Give it up. That's what we're talking about here for you potential membership people there. Mr. James Brown.
Yow!
Thank you, Glenn. Thank you, James Brown. We are here to let you know how you can contribute to KBOO, to the Dirtbag, 877-500-5266. And we want to remind you that you can double the impact of your donation without any extra money out of your pocket. Right now, an anonymous KBOO member
that
has
is a great
made
opportunity.
A very generous offer to match the next $500 in donations called in during the Dirtbag, which is probably another 40 minutes long. But do it now. Well, you don't have to wait till the last minute. Call in at 877-500-5266 right now, eh, Will?
That's right. That's right. And as my friend Sam pointed out, that if there's no you in community, then it's just community. And so we need you to call us. Please call us at 877-500-5266. It's incredibly important. I know you feel the same way. KBOO is a terrific resource with many, many great shows, whether it's the incredible music shows we put on or this gardening show. And how many other gardening shows do you get to hear? James Brown. I mean, I'm not sure if he's the funkiest man alive, because that was Rufus Thomas.
Well, he's not alive.
And also he's not alive either, so... Let's move on from that. I would love it if you would call us at 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-5266. Isn't that right, Lynn?
Absolutely. And I want to thank restaurants who have contributed to Feed Our Hungry Volunteers. There's Bridget's Cafe, which is open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 2 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday, 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. They are at 2716 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. And Chow Yo Thai, open every day between 11 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. They are at 1411 Northeast Broadway. And the Breakside Brewery, specializing in Friends, food and beer at 820 Northeast Deakum. Information at 503-719-6475 or online at breakside.com.
That's right. A big thank you from everybody here to those restaurants.
Absolutely. They are supporting KBOO in their way. We need you to support KBOO in your way.
That's right. Grab the phone,
877-500-5266.
Double the money if you do it right now.
That's right. And for a $75 minimum pledge of support, you get a $25 gift certificate to One Green World, which is a fabulous nursery that contributes all the time to their owner comes in to the Dirtbag and contributes his information. And he's got these really fabulous persimmons here. If you come down to 20 Southeast 8th, you can have a little Will and I had to sample them just so we could tell you what they were really like
they
on the radio. And
they're
yes, and they are delicious, which we can't say. 877-500-5266 or 820 Southeast 8th. Come on down. Do your pledge of support right now. Remember, it's matching funds.
Yeah. And I got half a persimmon, and I was considered fortunate for that. And dial 877-500-5266.
Thanks, you guys. I really recommend that people come down here and taste those persimmons. And when you come here to pay your contribution. No, they're so good. They are just so good. Okay, Glenn, you're on.
Jim, they are good. They are tasty, and we have about 8 or 9, 10 left here. So we're saving them. Well, we had the stumper here of what tree and then what other fruit has two crops a year. And in the case of the tree, they're two distinct crops. I mean, they're just different. The first one is different from the second one. You got a hint for that one, Jim?
Well, we might call it subtropical tree. It's yes. It's not one that you could grow in Minnesota. It's great here in Oregon. And
okay.
Let's see.
And the other crop or plant that we're talking about here is we'll just say it's a caneberry. I'll just make it very easy.
Wow, yeah, that is pretty good, Glenn.
Well, I want somebody to call here. Right?
Yeah, we want a caller.
That's right. Okay, so that the number there for that, 503-231-8187.
231-8187.
That's right.
Okay.
Well, it's time to plant garlic. And typically it's planted, I planted on, the holiday that's coming up, the Native American holiday, as we call it now. We don't want to call it named for the other guy. So I generally plant it around then, by mid-month here of garlic. Unlike potatoes, where you, no matter what size potato you plant, you get potatoes. This, if you're planting the largest cloves of garlic, you'll end up with the largest heads of garlic next summer. Garlic would require a fertile soil, well steeped in organic matter, compost or composted manure. What I do is break apart the cloves and then just grab the clove, and you want to make sure that the root end is down rather than the pointy end up. It won't have roots on it, but it'll the way that it grew. And what I do is just put it between my thumb and forefinger and just stick it down in about 2 inches. I don't drill a hole or a line or anything like that. I just poke it down into the soil. Easy. Cover it up. And you want to make sure you give them plenty of space, because they'll get bigger, of course, and sunlight always is an issue. So maybe I do it about, plant them maybe 4 inches apart in rows, maybe 8 inches apart. And I'll bet you that the experts would say more. But I think if you're giving them plenty of water and they have enough nutrients, it'd be fine. In fact, now, and it's fine to get garlic from farmers markets. That would be probably a lot cheaper than getting it as seed garlic, where you can pay, $12 or $15 a pound. Probably be a lot cheaper than that at a farmer's market there. Okay. Good morning, Karen. Do you have a question or an answer for us?
Well, I believe the double crop is a fig tree?
Yes.
That's right.
Great.
Now, how do you know that, Karen?
I have a fig.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Yeah, we're having the second crop has already come on.
And what kind of a fig do you have?
I believe it's an Italian fig.
Probably Laterula. Is it light colored?
Yes, it is.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's one of the best ones for us because it ripens that second crop quite early. Some are not ripe yet, but that one, Laterula, really comes on nice in the fall.
Jim, do all figs have two crops?
Well, they have the potential of having two crops. Whether they'll ripen them or not is another question.
Well, Jim and I were talking earlier that we hardly ever get a crop from Desert King.
The second crop.
The second crop. Excuse me. Yeah. But this year,
we have fruit. I've had the first time at my place. I've had some Desert Kings ripen in the fall, which I've never seen before. Although I honestly prefer the first crop as a different fruit and I think better quality.
Yes, and describe, Jim, for us the difference between the first crop and the second crop.
Well, the first crop Desert King is a pretty good sized fruit and has a strawberry colored flesh, and the second crop is smaller, with a lighter, much lighter flesh, and the flavor is not, to me, as rich as the first crop.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Laterula is kind of the opposite to me. Its first crop is not so flavorful, I don't like it so much, and it's not nearly as good as big a crop. The second crop, which you're experiencing, is the I think better flavor, and there's a lot more of them.
Would you concur with that, Karen?
Well, this is the first year we've gotten a second crop because we're up about 1,000 feet.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they're just starting to come. The first crop is actually pretty sweet.
Uh-huh.
And was even, of course, early this year. So I'm looking forward to having a second crop.
Well, that's a little bonus there.
Well, that's great. That's great that you're getting it 1,000 feet too, and that's impressive for a lot. Obviously, it's a testimony to how warm this summer has been.
Yes.
But if you have the room, I would encourage you to plant a Desert King if you like figs.
Oh, okay. Because, yeah, maybe I'll try that one.
Yeah, because it'll ripen that first crop. You'll get a lot of fruit in late July, early August.
I see. Okay.
And they're really pretty pest free too, except for birds and in my neighborhood squirrels.
Hmm.
Yeah, the squirrels haven't found it. They're busy with our nuts. But the birds, the scrub jays, can be something.
Yeah, it's always something.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. Our first crop of Desert Kings rarely get bothered by birds. And other than that, I mean, they're really easy. I just love that fruit. And if you let them stay on the tree a long time until they get way overripe, then little ants, sugar ants, will go up and start working on them. But
yes, and the bees.
Bees, In the fall, the bees are doing that. They seem to be busy with flowers in the summer. But
Well, they're getting desperate for sources of nectar now. There's just not too much blooming there.
Yes, yeah.
I'd like to, Jim, whenever you have a fallow field that you want me to experiment with and just plant, 5 acres of fall blooming crop to try to get a fall crop, I'll do it.
Okay.
Okay. Because I'm sorry, Karen, I'm just kind of changing subjects here a little bit, but we just don't have a fall flow like they do in some parts of the South and the Midwest, where they'll have fields of goldenrod, for example, that you can get a fall crop. We don't have anything like that in Western Oregon. So I'll talk to Jim about that later.
Well, thanks.
So, Karen, thank you. Great.
Bye.
Yeah. So, that's, just until that moment, I had not thought about that. But
there's an interesting shrub. We call silverberry. That's an Eleagnus related to autumn olive and Russian olive, but it blooms in the fall.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with that one?
Yeah. The Eleagnus pungens.
Pungens, right.
Oh, is that the one you're speaking of?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And blooms in the fall, and the fruit, if it does, we don't have a really cold winter, the fruit will ripen in the spring.
Uh-huh.
It's just kind of an interesting
situation.
And the fragrance is wonderful. I mean, they're blooming right now, and I walk down the field, it's like vanilla. It's a really wonderful fragrance.
Well, you've got bees out there. Are the bees visiting them?
Bees are working them.
Yeah.
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 I don't know what kind of honey it would make, but we could plant a field of those.
Yeah. Well, I was recently in Central Oregon doing some hiking and camping, and on the way back noticed just wherever, it's as a weed, it's the rabbit brush. yellow blooming, and that is kind of a fall flow in eastern Oregon. But I've also heard that the honey quality is not great; it crystallizes. Hmm. But the bees could use it to overwinter on. But that's a long ways to go to haul bees over there just for a couple of weeks,
just for rabbit brush.
It's beautiful though, but
I have to go take a look at it.
And it's very nice to have things blooming this time of year. Maybe we'll talk about what's going on in the honeybee colony after we come back from our short break to talk with our membership friends over there.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Are we on?
We are on. I'm Lynn. So. I'm here with Will, and this is your last opportunity to double the Dirtbag Show, to double the impact of your donation for the Dirtbag Show right now, because an anonymous member has made a very generous offer to match $500 in donations during the Dirtbag. There's like about 10 minutes left for that.
What an opportunity.
Double it down. 877-500-5266.
That's right. Please call us or walk in to our address at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. We're very easy to find, just off Burnside. There's a big mural out front, and you can walk in, meet our fine receptionist, Larry, and donate your money that way. And you can also check out many of our extremely cool gifts.
Have a persimmon.
Check out the new hoodie that's wicked cool, and meet some of our lovely, lovely volunteers.
You can get a $25 gift certificate to One Green World with a $75 minimum pledge. You don't have to even go way out to One Green World, though I would, because it's really fun. But you can they have an online catalog as well, so you can order from them that way with your $25 gift certificate to One Green World with a $75 minimum donation. Do that now, 877-500-5266, or go online at kboo.fm. Or, as we've been saying all morning, come on down. And many folks have. It's really been nice to meet them.
We had Coleman here earlier.
Yeah. And Peter, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. Come on down. It's really fun to see where your pennies, nickels, and dimes that you contribute go.
That's right. That's how everybody starts out, as a volunteer. They walk in the front door. And you can volunteer your time if you have it. But if you don't have time, if you're a busy, busy bee flying all over the place, there aren't many busy bees left, thanks to the nicotinoids. But if you are one of those busy, busy bees, then grab the phone. Dial 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-5266. And the money you donate or pledge today, right now, will be doubled. So $1 turns into $2, $10 turns into $20. It's pretty blinking awesome. Sorry, I almost swore there. I got so carried away with excitement. But grab the phone, and when you do this, you'll be making this great day even better. So pick up the phone, dial 877-500-5266. 500-5266.
Yeah, and there's about 2.5 days left in the drive this time. Our fall membership drive is one of the shortest drives we've had in years. We do that because we know you don't like having your programming interrupted, and so a lot of folks donated early. That was part of the deal. They've responded. Now we have about $25,000 left to go in about 2.5 days, and I know that we can do that with your help. That's how we run. That's how we roll here at KBOO.
That's how we rock, too.
That's right. We are a community radio station, and we survive with your help. 877-500-5266. It's something we all do together.
That's right. We're not underwritten by the Ford Foundation or Monsanto or Globochem. We are funded by you folks out there, you lovely, lovely, lovely listeners. So grab the phone, dial 877-500-5266. 500-5266.
That's right. Take advantage of the matching donation that someone made for $500. A very, very lovely anonymous KBOO member has made this generous offer of $500 in donations during the dirt bag. So they're gonna, your dollar for dollar is matched. You do $10, it's really $20. You do $40, it's more like $80. That's how this goes. It's a fun time to do it, and it's a great show to do it for. 877-500-5266. Let me say that one more time, because you've got about 10 minutes left to do this. 877 500 5266 or come on down to 20 Southeast 8th or KBOO.FM.
Strike while the iron is hot. That's what I say. It's a lovely day. There's a hot iron right there. Strike it and pick up the phone or come down here. But when you pick up the phone, make sure you dial 877-500-5266.
877-500-5266. And now back to Glenn.
Thank you both. Thank you both. Okay, Tammy, let's take care of this phone call right here. Good morning, David. You have a question on Latorella figs. Yeah? Good morning, David. Maybe somebody's there. Well, the question on the figs was how long before the...
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. What is your question?
I was just out inspecting my fig tree. I'm sorry.
Uh-huh.
I planted this fig tree a little more, about a year and a half ago. It was maybe March of last year. And the first year, I mean, I didn't expect to get anything, and I got, I don't know, 8 or 9 figs, which were delicious, and I was happy to get anything. And this year, I was expecting, you know, the plant had spread out a little bit. I was expecting I would get a decent crop, and I don't have much more this year. So I'm just wondering, you know, is this to be expected, or what can I expect in the next year or two?
Well, it's a pretty young tree, so I think keep that in mind. It's getting its roots established. It's getting going. I think it will increase its production, and so it may be another year or two before you're going to see a significant increase. But the tree, I presume, is getting larger.
Yeah.
And it's putting energy into growth, into making more vegetative growth and building up its size, the fruiting.
Right.
I think you'll patience is
sure. But I planted a fig, a walnut, a pear, and a persimmon, and I was really thinking that the fig was the one I was going to get some fruit off of the first. But I didn't know.
That's probably right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're getting some. And as I said, I think you're probably taking good care of it. And it's, you know, as I say, it's putting its energy into building up size. And I'm sure the production will increase soon.
Sure. In the next couple of years, it'll start.
You think?
Okay. I've been trying to water it regularly the first couple summers. Do we need to keep doing that past the first 2 years?
Well, that's an interesting question, and I talk about this a lot about watering. One of the things that you want to stop, if you haven't stopped already, you should stop watering now. The plant, because plants need to harden off and get ready for winter. And then during the summer, I think a deep watering once a week is plenty.
Mm-hmm. That's what I've been trying to do for that and the shade trees that the city planted for me at the same time. So.
And figs will do, but they will like to have some water during our dry summers. I mean, we've had a long dry spell now, and you know that deep watering will keep them happy and keep them productive.
Well, some of the leaves look a little brown. Should I water them one more time before I stop, or
No, it's just natural. They're ready to lose their leaves.
They're going dormant.
Gotcha. And so over the next few years, though, I will continue to water them a little bit.
Deep watering, not shallow watering. You know, so you don't try to. You want to build a surface root system. You want it to have deep roots, and figs are not real water demanding. I mean, they're naturally a Mediterranean plant, grow in pretty dry conditions. So
give me a good. Okay, I think I know what deep watering means. Won't you give me a good definition of that, or how to do that? So.
Well, if you were watering with a sprinkler, if you water for probably 4 to 5 hours.
I've got a hose that I set about like 3 feet away from the center of the tree, and sort of let it trickle, put it as low as I can.
Well, that's good. Yeah, but let it go for hours.
For hours. I probably wasn't giving it enough water then.
And then if you can somehow get the water around the tree or to both to two sides of it.
Go out and move the hose after half an hour.
Mulching is really important too. If you can find some straw, something to put around the base, you'll reduce the amount of water. And this is for all listeners, but check underneath the mulch, and you know, if it's moist, you don't need to water.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll
need to water. Okay. Thanks so much.
Great.
Thank you.
Okay, Jim, you're going to have to give us about a 1-minute spiel on what you've what fruit you found.
So my first most exciting fruit was revisiting an orchard, a collection of seaberry plants in Ulaanude. They had a wonderful experiment station there, and they've got varieties that are were ripe, and they're making juice, and just fun to see that again. I'd been there in 1998 when they had a festival, an actual congress on seaberry. So this was a revisiting that orchard. And then the second and possibly even more interesting experience was in Korea, where we visited numerous collections of persimmons, which were ripening, and saw new varieties, which I'm hoping we'll at least get some of those over here to experiment with. But they were the earliest ones were already ripe. This is mid-September. And the way they were growing them was very interesting, too. There's not a lot of labor available in Korea, so you could really tell that the efforts to they used plastic culture a lot, which is something we're not so familiar with here in the Northwest. But they use like in their nursery areas, they would use a 1 mil sheet of plastic and keep the weeds from growing and reduce the labor immensely with that. And then in their orchards, they would use landscape fabric, which we use. And they really kept down the weeds. It was really working well and held the moisture in the soil too.
Well, maybe we should get some pictures of that sometime post them on the dirt bag here.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Well, thanks, Jim.
Thank you, Glenn.
We will be back in a month. You'll be here next month, Jim?
As far as I know.
November, my date doesn't show up here. I can't remember. Well, it's 5 weeks, I think, from today anyway. So
second Wednesday of November.
That's it.
Got it.
Well, thank you all for listening, and thank you particularly all of you new and renewing members. Appreciate it. Be well.
And thanks to everyone who's called to join up in support of your community radio station, KBOO. This is KBOO Portland coming right up. It's the KBOO Noon News Headlines. And then we've got jazz coming up immediately thereafter. Thanks for tuning in today.
This is the KBOO Headline News at Noon for Wednesday, October 8, 2014. I'm Diane Erickson.
And I'm Patrick Wilson. In local news, the San Francisco Board of Supervisors has taken tentative steps toward allowing companies like Airbnb to offer short-term rentals. This culminates a two-year effort by the board president, David Hsu, to regulate this kind of activity. The practice is already widespread, even though currently illegal.
In national news, an article in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch reported that U.S. District Judge Catherine Perry has issued a preliminary injunction ordering the police in Ferguson, Missouri to stop using the crowd control